about it now. What is it that the 600 people of India, million people of India, could do to help the United States? I would think they could help us if they could understand our objectives in the world and our viewpoint and try to be a little more sympathetic in recognizing them. I don't say just rubber stamp anything we do, but I don't think they need to denounce us every day on what we do in Vietnam. And I put a stop to it, Mr. Freeman, 6 months ago. You haven't seen one goddamn Indian declaration since then. Have you?
I don't quite understand what you said, Mr. President.
Have you seen any statement by the Prime Minister of India denouncing the United States' aggressive purposes in the world?
No, sir.
And trying to take over the poor little people of Vietnam and so on and so forth?
No, sir.
We put a stop to that 6 months ago. Every damn morning you'd pick up and see something they said before that.
That's right.
And that's one thing we can do.
Right. That has been, you have done that. That's been accomplished.
And we put a little stop to fighting out there, using our guns and our planes and our tanks to fight each other. Both sides use them. That's a fait accompli, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
And they have removed their troops. That's a fait accompli. Now, you don't think that's just because Ayub and Chester decided to make up, do you?
No, sir.
And you don't think it's just because Kosygin is a real nice buddy-buddy guy?
I sure as hell don't.
Well, now, some people don't know that yet. They don't know why that is. But from here on out, I won't see what India does for us. Ayub said last night, I went to bed at 2 o'clock reading his cable. And he's going to be damn careful not to alienate the United States anymore. And he hadn't gotten anything yet. And I want to help them, but I don't think I help them by destroying my own country. And I don't know what they're going to do to help us. And that's up to them to tell me. And it's up for your people to get me prepared on what we can do to help them. And I think that you've got to show what they're going to do, make their requirements from the agricultural standpoint. But I think I've also got to find out what they're going to do in the political sphere.
Yes, sir, I quite agree. I quite agree. And let me ask this specifically, if I may. We did have this team that went over to look at this port situation, as you directed, and that report is here. We're going to have some other fellows, just a few, go and take a look at what they're doing pursuant to the agreement that we reached on their long-term agricultural development, which is nearly as I can find out secondhand. They are living up to those commitments, but I want to keep on top of them to be sure they are. You want me to hold that team or send them?
Yeah, I think I'd hold it. I told a note last night. They come in, they use you each time that you give an opinion or a memo. The boys in state in my own Bundy's shop, the giveaway boys, they just come running and say, here's a memo, Orville recommends this. And I just wrote on the bottom one last night. I said, tell Orville to hold all recommendations. Just keep them under his vest for a while. Let us see what we do with Nehru, number one. Number two, what we do with the madam. Number three, what we do with the Congress. I want to sit down and I would like to have on one page, somebody's idea about what they think it's to the interest of the United States to do in the way of bushels, how much that costs us, at what period of time, and so forth. And then I'd like over in the next page say, now, in response to this, we would expect India to do the following. Now, I think that aid and state and agriculture could have a little task force that would get together on the food thing. But whatever we do, we're going to have an authorization and probably an appropriation. And before we have that, we're going to have a message written that where I get on the line and where I recommend it if they meet me and if they go with me. And then I'm going to have them to the White House, and the Bill Fulbright's going to get plenty of damn consultation. And we're going to let them debate it. And they're going to say, well, you don't need to do this. You can give away. You had the damn right. I could give away Elk's Hill if I wanted to. But I want to be a dictator here.
All right, let me be sure I've got this straight, Mr. President. You'd like on one piece of paper what I would recommend in relation to the physical situation, the number of bushels, and what it would cost.
That's right. And I'd go a little further than that. I'd have aid people and state people, and I'd say, now let's get a task force here, the three of us best, me and Dave Bell, and whoever's going to hand it over in aid, Monday, whoever's doing it. And I'd say, now, are they going to do anything on birth control? Are they going to do anything on fertilizer? Are they going to do anything on modernizing their agriculture and their sacred cows? Are they going to do anything here? And if so, let's list what they ought to do and suggestions we got to see if they will do. Are they going to do anything about moderating their criticism of the United States? Dirksen said, I want to call a roll and look at each country and see how they feel about us before I go to sending money over. In other words, I'm not going to send money to Hitler. And let's see. I'd look at it in that angle. Then I'd say, now, they got a famine on their hands. We got until May to get some stuff over there. Now, how many bushels should we try to allot? Last year, we sent them 6 million. That's 20% of our wheat, was it?
Yes, sir.
This year, they expect to send how much? What do they ask for?
What they're asking for this year,
10 or 15?
From the world, is 11 million tons.
11 million tons. How much of the 11 million do they expect from us?
They have not said that. They're saying they've got to get 11 million tons. They have been going to other countries and asking them to contribute, and then they've been saying what they can't get from other countries, they hope we'll make available.
What do you think that nets out to us, 10?
I don't think it should be that high, Mr. President. I'd say that in the last analysis, given world wheat availability, it'll net out to us 8 or 9.
All right, 8. Now, if we had 8 and they had 3, how does that compare? What formula are you using where out of 11 parts, ours is 8 and theirs 3?
We can use this formula. Under the World Food Program, as it now stands, we have been a 50% donator to this program. We could say that the president could say that he is prepared to do that well. He is prepared conceivably to go higher if necessary, depending on a real effort by other nations.
Now, what is the World Food Program where we put up 50%?
The World Food Program is administered by the United Nations, and under it there have been pledges made from, I forgot an exact number, 50 countries around the world that totaled, or will total, around $300 million. This is then used as a disaster feeding and economic development instrument, as a multilateral aid. It's on the consortium principle of everybody putting in.
Why wouldn't this emergency be something for the World Food Program?
The basic reason, and we've gone over this at some length, is that the World Food Program is a rather ponderous administrative machinery. And in order to operate through it, would just simply take more lead time than it would make it possible to get the food there before you'd have people starving. It's just that simple. The bilateral system of countries doing this individually and doing it through their own established governmental machinery is so much more prompt that, as a practical matter, we've reached a conclusion the World Food Program couldn't handle it.
How much does a million tons of wheat cost?
About $60 million.
So we would be expected to put up roughly $500 million for wheat.
Yes, that would be. If we took a ratio of 8 to 3, one of the things I had down as possible talking paper for you would go something like this, that the president would say that we would put up between 7 and 9 million, just keep that flexible. And depending on other nations acting to match that amount up to the 11 million. If a country has put in something other than wheat because they didn't have wheat, to the extent the value of that exceeded the $11 billion, why we could consider whether we might want to match that on a 50-50 formula. This could be an incentive to building up stocks or to giving them, the Indians, a little more muscle to push some other countries. This is the kind of thing that I thought I might send over this morning.
Had we had a program before last year on giving them wheat?
Yes, sir.
How long have we had that program?
We had a program that goes back to about 1955, I think we started with India, and last year completed a three-year agreement, which started at a level of 3 million tons, And last year rose to seven, so it's a little, about 6.5 million tons. And so that was the conclusion of a 3-year agreement. We had one with Pakistan too. We had one with Egypt too. We had three long-term.
Do they have any congressional approval?
No,
they
sir.
Authorized?
No, sir. They were negotiated by the president, ostensibly. And
who negotiated?
They were negotiated. The first one, the long-term one with India, was negotiated by Eisenhower.
The three-year one?
3-1, yes.
3 million, 6 million?
Yes. And
who did it under him?
I frankly don't know who did it under him. It was signed in the cabinet room over there by the Indians and by Eisenhower himself. The first 3-year one, and there was a second 3-year one.
Well, the second 3-year one is it 3 million, 6 million, I guess.
Yes.
And who did that? For us.
Well, it was done by the State Department.
Dave Bell?
I frankly don't know exactly.
He's out in Pakistan. Did you have anything to do with negotiating this 3 million, 6 million wheat one?
No, sir. Except to the extent that the machinery, the interdepartmental machinery, participated in it, but we were only a part of it in terms of, in effect, certifying the availabilities and to guarantee.
I rather like the idea of the World Food Program, and I just wonder why we couldn't say to them that we'll make you advance to be against our allotment of the World Food Program and give old Utah something to do. And Goldberg, too. And since they're handling the India-Pakistan thing, let's handle our aid the same way. And I rather think these boys, individually, we don't get much credit for these things.
I think you're right.
And I don't think we're going to. And I hate to say it, but I think you, Fulbright is correct. That the more we can get this thing out to other nations where they don't hate us, they hate us. If we give them 6 million, they want nine. If we give them nine, they want 12. And it's just like the old man. Nobody likes the old man that furnishes them the money. All the kids get mad. We might just say, okay, now we are very interested in the World Food Program, and we're very interested in doing more than our part. Presently, we're doing 50%. We'll even exceed that. But you go get them and get them busy, and let's see what they're willing to do, and we'll authorize ours. I would get up a pretty strong draft of legislation that would authorize the Secretary of Agriculture and the Secretary of State to make available X tons of wheat and to set conditions. And if you want to put in the legislation a formula that they, other nations do at least, we not do over 2-for-1 or something like that, that's all right. But get me that up, get me up a message, and then get me up on a separate sheet what you think we ought to do, how much it costs, and what you think they ought to do, what you think would be fair. Plan A is the United States, what we do. Plan B is what they do. And then
by there, you mean other countries now?
Yeah, India, what India would get from other countries.
And then examine outside.
Get me a message and then get me a bill. Because it's going to be a debate up in Congress. I want them to have debate. I don't want to be a dictator. I'm sensitive about these things. I'm trying to run everything and be a czar. And I read every day where they're saying in the tickers, the Dirksons and the rest of them, that we've got to take this country by country and see how they feel. Now, this is one. John Cooper can carry a good load here. Now, he's a good fella. Just let him get out here and get his votes. And at the New York Times, it's real strong for us, Washington Post, and let's just do it. And I don't think I have the right. I'm willing to lend the World Food Organization some food. And I'm willing to advance it. But our agreement ran out last June, didn't it?
With the World Food Program?
Oh,
with
India.
Yes, sir.
Now, they haven't had any enough desire to even come and negotiate one. I don't want to be hard about it, but that's that. And this business they're going on, getting their ships, expecting us to do this and do that, I just don't want to get involved. I don't want them to imply that I'm giving them any assurance to do that.
No, this has been made very clear, Mr. President.
Well, you just be sure you got a record of it. Be sure that when old Allen Elder takes in after you and says, when did you make it clear, you just be damn sure, because I'm telling him that I'm not going to commit him until I get to Congress. And, now, have you got your milk fire stamped out pretty well?
Yes, I think the milk fires we've talked to about the memo over there now.
I would talk to them. Aren't we giving some milk to some world food program somewhere?
We are. We have budgeted and will be making available on the